As we continue our study of the life of Elijah, I would invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning at verse 41 and reading to the end of the chapter. This is God's holy word. Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. He bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and he looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." And at the seventh time he said, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea." And he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Father, thank you for this text that your Holy Spirit has preserved for our teaching, for our good, for our edification. Just pray you'd open our eyes and open our ears, that we would gain understanding of this passage, that we would glorify you as our great God. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen. Francis Schaeffer, Christian philosopher, once wrote an excellent book on Christian apologetics called "He Is There and He Is Not Silent." I would encourage all of you to read that book by Francis Schaeffer, talking about God. He is there, and he is not silent. The text we considered last Sunday evening, the Elijah episode on Mount Carmel, demonstrated that reality to an extremity. He is there, and he's not silent. No, he thunders. There God demonstrated that he was the only true God. He's not silent as he sent fire to consume the sacrifice that Elijah had set up and consumed even the stones of the altar. You remember that last week. Baal, to the contrary, was not there. He was not at the contest. He didn't answer. He was silent. There was a deafening silence on the part of Baal. As I said last week, the Israelites understood this. They understood clearly the contrast, because remember, at the end of the match, the Israelites had responded with a great confession: Yahweh, he is God. Yahweh, he is God. Baal is not God. Only Yahweh is God. Yahweh is there, and he is not silent. As we shall see in the text before us, God's work at Mount Carmel is not finished. It's not over. It's not done. He continues to work. Even when one considers the events that we're going to look at, I mean the marathon of Elijah running down Mount Carmel, not quite as dramatic as what God did on the top of Mount Carmel. But God was yet working. So we need to understand, when we look at these passages, that God works in a variety of ways. God works in a variety of ways. He's not silent. He is there, and he is working. We're going to consider our passage this evening in three parts. First part we're going to look at is verses 41 and the first half of verse 42. It says this, let me read it again. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. Okay, at the close of last week's passage, we read in verse 40 the following, just the verse right before our text this evening. And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slaughtered them there. Elijah, with the help of the people of Israel, seized the prophets of Baal, that is, all 450 of them. He then brought them all down to the bottom of Mount Carmel, and he killed them all at the Kishon River that flows at the base of Mount Carmel. It's been a long day for the prophet Elijah. But we see in this text that God is not done working through the prophet. Now, first thing for us to consider is that Ahab, that vile toad on the throne of Israel, Ahab is next to the Kishon River, having witnessed the slaughter of the prophets of Baal by the hand of Elijah. These are all Ahab's court prophets, and he's down there at the bottom watching all this. And so the question I have is, was Ahab one of those who was saying, "Yahweh, he is God. Yahweh, he is God"? Was that what Ahab was saying? Elijah, note, then commands Ahab, the king of Israel, to go back up on Mount Carmel and have a feast. Commentators, and I think are right in this, they assume that a feast had been laid out on Mount Carmel in anticipation of Baal's great victory over Yahweh. It's ironic that Ahab would now go feast when in fact the victory was Yahweh's, not Baal's. Yahweh was Baal's nemesis. Now note there in verse 41 that Elijah tells Ahab to go up on Mount Carmel, have a feast, but don't celebrate because of Baal's victory, for he was not victorious, but because rain is on the way. Look again what it says. And Elijah said to Ahab, go up on Mount Carmel, have a feast, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain. Celebrate because God is going to bring the rain after defeating the Canaanite rain god, Baal. And Elijah says this, that he hears the sound of the rushing rain. He hears the sound of the rushing rain. The Lord has opened the ears of the prophet to hear. God is working here. God is working on Elijah the prophet, opens his ears to hear the rushing of rain that it's coming. Elijah stands on the promises of God. God had told him back in 18 verse 1 that I will send rain upon the earth. The prophet is so convinced that God will send rain now because the Lord has been vindicated. The people have returned to the Lord and the crisis is over. Elijah now has great expectation that God will keep his word. He is there and he is not silent. And God opens his ears to hear that God is not silent. During a time of great drought in Scotland, during the 19th century, a pastor named Dr. Thomas Guthrie, he prayed for rain during the morning church service. And he was getting ready to go to the evening service to preach that Sunday, and his daughter Mary said to him, "Here is the umbrella, Papa." He asked, "What do we need that for?" She said, "You prayed for rain this morning, and don't you expect that God will send it?" They took the umbrella. When they came home, they were glad they had it because of a drenching rainstorm. Again, the prophet Elijah has great expectation for the work of God, even in these daunting times. His ears have been opened. Now, let me ask you a question. We live in desperate, we've been saying this week after week, and I'm sure it's finally getting through to you, that we live in desperate times, hard times as God's people. Do you have the expectation of God working in our day? Do you have the expectation of God working this very day? In the book of Habakkuk, the prophet argued that the Lord was not working in his day. But you remember how God responded to him in chapter 1, verse 5. God said, Yahweh said to Habakkuk, "For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if you were told." Are your ears open that God is working even now? Do you believe God is at work today, even in the midst of these dire circumstances, even in the midst of a pandemic? Do you have that expectation? Do you believe that He is there and He is not silent? Are your ears open, listening to what God is doing in our day? Now, what's Ahab's response? Verse 42, so Ahab went up to eat and to drink. We see that Ahab obeys Elijah and goes up on Mount Carmel to feast. Now, to me, this is an interesting response by the king. We see no remorse on his part, no concern over the death of all his 450 court prophets. He appears here to be callous and hardened to what just happened. Ahab simply goes to feast. Now, this is the history of this king. This reminds me of the beginning of chapter 18 that Dean preached on a couple of weeks ago, in which Ahab, remember, he was going out searching for water, but for what purpose? To water his animals. He could have cared less about his people. He feasts now because water may be coming to him, but he's deadened to all the bloodshed. He's deadened to the defeat that's just taken place. He's deadened to all that. Throughout the Elijah stories, throughout all these accounts we're looking at, Ahab is pictured repeatedly as self-indulgent, self-serving, and downright selfish. That's the picture we get. He's got dead ears. Elijah has open ears because God has opened his ears to the truth that the rain is coming, and he can even hear it. So that leads to our second part of this account, verses 42b through 44a. Let's read that. It says this, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and he looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." And at the seventh time he said, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea." We see in this verse 42, that the prophet also goes to the top of Mount Carmel. Ahab went to the top of Mount Carmel from the Kishon Brook. Elijah now goes to the top of Mount Carmel. but their purposes are contrastive. Whereas Ahab goes up to party, Elijah goes up to pray. One goes up to feast, one goes up to pray. And what do we see about Elijah here? Second half of verse 42. And he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. Have you ever heard anything like that in the scriptures? No, because this is very unique. We witness Elijah casting himself to the ground, placing his head between his knees. This is earnest prayer. It's fervent prayer. It's real prayer. Ahab, I'm sure, is earnest in his feasting. Elijah's earnest in his praying. And why does he pray this way? Because he's there and he's not silent. Because God is there and he's not silent. And now, his mouth is open. First verse and a half, his ears were opened by God. Now his mouth is opened by God. His mouth is loosened. Elijah, in the earlier account from last week, had prayed that God would bring fire to consume the sacrifice. Now he prays. He prays earnestly on top of Mount Carmel. He prays that God would now bring rain. Bring fire and then bring rain. Elijah's prayer is very specific. It's based on the very promises of God. In 18 verse 1, God said to the prophet, "Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." It's God who acts. He is there, and he is not silent. And he opens the mouth of the prophet. May I ask you a question? Do you truly believe that when you pray, that you pray to a God who is there and who is not silent? Do you truly believe that? When Hudson Taylor was sailing to China to begin his missionary work there, his ship was in grave danger. The sails had lost their wind, and the ship was being carried by the current to an island that was inhabited by cannibals. Everything the sailors tried was in vain. Hudson Taylor recorded in his diary this: "The captain said to me, 'Well, we've done everything that can be done.' Hudson Taylor said, 'Well, a thought occurred to me, and I replied, no, there is one thing we have not done yet.' 'What is that?' the captain asked. Hudson Taylor said, 'Four of us on board are Christians. Let each of us retire to his own cabin and in agreed prayer ask the Lord to give us immediately a breeze.' Hudson Taylor prayed briefly in his cabin. He was certain the answer was coming, so he went up on deck and he said to the first officer, 'Let down the sails.' The officer said, 'What good would that do?' Hudson Taylor said, 'I told him we had been asking a wind from God. It was coming immediately.' They let the sails down, the wind began to blow, and it carried them to safety." Hudson Taylor wrote this: "Thus God encouraged me ere landing on China's shores to bring every variety of need to him in prayer and to expect that he would honor the name of the Lord Jesus and give the help each emergency required." Does that reflect your prayer life as a Christian? Do you pray earnestly with the expectation that God will answer? Do you believe he's there and not silent? Do you open your mouth in prayer? Like this. What is Elijah's expectation? Look at verse 43 and beginning of verse 44. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again," seven times. And at the seventh time he said, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea." Elijah so expects God to answer his prayer that he sends his servant to go to the western part of Mount Carmel, look over the Mediterranean Sea, and see if there's any sign of rain. The servant returns to Elijah and tells him there's no sign of anything coming across the Mediterranean Sea. He says there's nothing. There's nothing. But does Elijah despair? Does he proclaim that God has not answered his prayer? Does he lose hope because God did not answer him immediately? No, indeed. Elijah has expectant faith and persistent prayer. He prays and he prays. And he sends his servant back to the promontory seven times to see if the rain is coming. He prays and he prays. Does persistent prayer reflect your prayer life? Are you persistent and expectant? Charles Spurgeon was once asked what was the secret to his ministry. He said this, knee work, persistent knee work. Seventh time here is the kicker, isn't it? The servant sees a tiny cloud, one that is only as big as a man's hand. But this is the beginning of God's work. It's God who gives rain. Not the rain god Baal. You know, in the Bible, it never says it rained. It always says God brought the rain. See? I understand that. It's his work. Yahweh is there and he's not silent. So God has opened the prophet's ears. God has opened his mouth. Now he's going to loosen something else. Verses 44b through 46. And he, Elijah, said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. We have seen how God works. It's Yahweh who brought the fire on the top of Mount Carmel. It's Yahweh who brings the rain. But God's not work, his work is not finished yet. God's work is never finished on this earth. And in this last section of our text, Elijah has his servant go to Ahab, who's up feasting on top of Mount Carmel, and tell him to jump in his chariot, go down the mountain, so that he will beat the coming storm. And verse 45 tells us that the text tells us that Ahab left quickly. He jumped in his chariot and he rode like a madman to the city of Jezreel. Now, why does he go to Jezreel? Just a kind of a side point here is that we read in 1 Kings chapter 21. That Ahab had a palace at Jezreel. His main palace was at Samaria, which were the palace of the kings of the north, but these kings had lots of different palaces. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. And so we see that he has one at Jezreel. And then we see a most strange thing happens. The hand of the Lord comes upon Elijah. The prophet binds up his garment and he runs. God has opened his ears. God has opened his mouth. God now loosens his legs and he runs. He ran ahead of the rain and he ran ahead of the chariot of Ahab that the king was driving furiously. What an amazing picture. Remember, the priests of Baal had limped around the altar. Elijah runs. He outruns the chariot of Ahab. Elijah's had a long day. God empowers him to run. It's no small distance. From the top of Mount Carmel to the city of Jezreel is 18 miles. But he runs. You remember when Eric Little, Scottish Christian Olympian, he responded to his sister about his neglecting his missionary responsibilities. She had accused him of that, and he said, "Jenny, I believe that God made me for a purpose." But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. So Elijah runs. It's interesting, isn't it? What's the point of all this? All of a sudden, it's over. He runs and beats Ahab to Jezreel. And that's the end of the story. What's the point? Well, Elijah is running in the strength of the Lord. Elijah's running in triumph in the strength of the Lord. This is a victory run. It is God who brought the fire. It's God who brought the rain. It's God who gave Elijah power to run like the wind. God opened his ears and opened his mouth and now loosened his legs that he would run. See, God's power dominates everything earthly. God dominates Baal. God dominates the worshipers of Baal. God dominates nature. God dominates Ahab. God even dominates the speed of chariots. God, who made a donkey talk, can make a prophet run. This is all God's doing. Running in the strength of the Lord. And do you understand? This is the God whom we serve. He yet sits enthroned today. He is there and he's not silent. He yet works today in many different ways, as we see here at Mount Carmel. How does he work today? In the most amazing ways. I guarantee you, when you drive home, you're not going to see me run past you as you're driving on the road. There's the pastor running in the Lord. No. But does God work today? Yes, he yet answers prayer. Nature is at his beck and call. His providence yet runs all things. History unfolds according to his will. And perhaps we see his work most magnificently when the Lord changes a person's heart of stone to one of flesh because of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Does God work today? He's there. He's not silent. The streams of grace and mercy are running just as fresh today as ever. He is there, and he's not silent. He made a prophet run in triumph because God is victorious. Amen and amen. Please pray with me. Most Heavenly Father, we're just astonished by your work. Astonished as we read these accounts in the Old Testament of Elijah, we're astonished how you work through your people. May we not be deistic. May we not think that you don't work today, because you do work this very day. And if we only saw it all, we would be amazed at your work. Thank you for your work in Jesus Christ, that you delivered your people through him. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Would you please stand to receive God's benediction? Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.